Here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord is speaking to a man, and in verse 34 there you have the words of my text, where he says that this man wasn't far from the kingdom of God. And sometimes we can look at an individual and we can say, there's Mr. So-and-so, and he's not far from the kingdom of God. But if we only knew the real truth, perhaps that person is much closer than we think they are. Then there are other people, we'd say to themselves, well, there's Mrs. So-and-so, and I think she's not far from the kingdom as well. But if we could only look into her heart, perhaps she's much further away than we would think that she is. Now, when you think about that, on the one hand, that ought to encourage us. That although we might think with our limited human knowledge that someone's not far from the kingdom of God, we really don't know what work the Spirit of God is doing in their heart. And so you and I really have no idea about the person that's even sitting beside you tonight, about where they are in relation to the Lord, whether they're very, very close, whether or not the Lord is moving in their heart, or whether in reality, although they may be the nicest, the most loveliest, the most pleasant of people, in their heart of hearts, there's a hard heart there that's seeking to keep the Lord out. But when you turn here to the pages of the Word of God, you find that when the Son of God was ministering to people, He was able to do what you and I can't do. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And there were those who came here in this passage of Scripture, and they came to the Lord for the wrong reason. We know the Bible tells us the scribes and the Pharisees were full of envy when they saw the great crowds that were following Christ. And so they came along to try and trip Him up, to try and tie Him in His words, to try and make a fool of Him. Here's the Lord, and He has absolute knowledge. And He doesn't look on the outward appearance, He just looks on the heart. And He looked into the heart and into the mind of an individual here. And as the Lord looked at him, He said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Now notice that for the Lord to make that statement, there must be a kingdom of God. Unless you're prepared to call the Lord a liar tonight, heaven's a real place. And the Lord said that this man wasn't very far away from the kingdom. But notice also that he wasn't in it, because the Lord said he was close to it. So this is another proof from the very lips of the Savior himself, that as you look out over a crowd, perhaps even over this meeting tonight, yes, there are those who are already saved, they're in Christ, but tonight there are also those, and yet they're not in the kingdom. The Lord doesn't rule and reign in their hearts. And there are some who are false prophets in the world who will try and tell people they don't need to be saved because we're all going to heaven. But when you read the sermons that the Savior himself delivered, such as this one here, you find that's not the case. When you were born into this world. But if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, then the Lord says you have to be born again. There must be a time in your life when once you were outside of the kingdom. There certainly was in my life. For the first 23 years, I was outside of the kingdom, unsaved, unrepentant, and unprepared to meet God. But then there was a day when the Lord came, took the scales from off my eyes, took away that hard heart of unbelief, pointed me to Christ and to Calvary. And that day I bowed the knee in repentance and faith. And I went from being on the outside to having Christ abiding within. But tonight I want us just to simply come and to look here at this passage of Scripture, because I want to lay before you a few thoughts about this man who wasn't far from the kingdom of God. Because perhaps there's somebody here tonight, and if I was to ask you, are you saved? You might say, well, I'm not, but I'm not far from the kingdom. Well, here's a man that was in that position tonight. The first thing let me say about it, for this man being not far from the kingdom of God, it was a desirable position for him to be in. It was a desirable position because there are many people in the world today and they're a long, long way away from the kingdom of God. Think about the millions in the world who never hear the gospel preached. Think about those who never ever set foot in a gospel preaching church. Think about those who don't have anyone who's saved to witness to them or to pray for them. Now you may say, well, that's hard to believe here in Ulster. But you know, there's plenty of other countries in the world apart from Ulster. When I grew up as a child, I never ever went to Sunday school. Never ever once went along to a youth fellowship. Never ever once went along to a Sunday service. The only time I set foot in church was for the occasional wedding or funeral. And I never had anyone witness to me. No one in my family or any of my friends were saved. And so just think of the millions of people in the world tonight that are far, far away because there's no witness. But here's a man who's in this desirable position because he was near the kingdom. He was near it because in God's providence, he'd been born into a country that was favored with the gospel. Here's a man and he'd been born in Israel. And it was the Israelites who had the Old Testament scriptures. He'd been born into a home where his parents would have taught him the scriptures. He would have regularly attended the synagogues. He would have heard the scriptures being publicly read. He also had the unique privilege of living in Israel at a time when Christ was alive upon this earth. What a privilege. Just think what it must have been like for somebody to live in the days of Christ. To have seen the Lord in the flesh. To have been able to hear those words fall from his lips as he spake as never man spake. To have been able to watch him as he cared for people, as he healed the sick. Perhaps see some of the miracles that he performed. Here's a man who was near the kingdom because of where he was born. Here's a man who was near the kingdom because of his knowledge of Scripture. You see, this man came to talk to the Lord, and he's talking to the Lord about scriptural things. He's talking to the Lord here about the commandments. And that shows me that this was a man who was near the kingdom because he had a knowledge of the Word of God. This man's not out and out ignorant as far as the Scriptures are concerned by any means. Now, this man never argued with the Bible. No, in fact, he would have said that he believed the Bible. And it's quite obvious that this man took the Old Testament Scriptures as being the true Word of God. And I wonder tonight, as you look at this man, if there's somebody here tonight, and we've got a very accurate picture of you in that same description. Perhaps you're here tonight and you'd have to say, yes, I'm glad that I've been born in Ulster. I'm glad that tonight I'm sitting in an evangelical church that preaches the good news of the gospel and the one and only way of salvation. I'm glad that I've been taught the Word of God. And yes, preacher, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it's true. I believe there is a God in heaven. I believe that Christ is indeed the Son of God, that He came into this world. He was born of a woman. He lived that perfectly sinless life that we could never hope to live. That yes, He literally died. He was buried, and on the third day, according to the Scriptures, He literally rose again from the grave. I believe the Bible. I believe in a heaven. I believe in a hell. Well, let me say tonight, that's very, very good, and that's very, very commendable. And because of that tonight, you're much nearer the kingdom than many other people that we could think of tonight. If I think of my own mother and father and my two sisters in Australia, they're all atheists. Don't even attend church. Don't read the Bible. Don't pray. No interest whatsoever. And so tonight, compared to them, you're much closer to the kingdom. And notice also this man was a scribe. That means he was a man who studied the law of God. In those days, the scribes used to study the first five books of the Bible especially. And then they would take the Ten Commandments. They'd also take the 618 statutes that Moses gave to the nation of Israel. And they would discuss the commandments and how those commandments would be applied to everyday life. They'd also consult the various commentaries that they had in those days as to what the various rabbis had to say. And so this man immersed himself in the study of the law. Now again, that's very good, because the Bible tells me that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So here's a man, and again, he's near the kingdom because he knows the law of God. And by the law comes the knowledge of sin. He's also near the kingdom of God because he's teachable. You see, in verse 13 there, I pointed out to you that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they came that day under false pretenses. They came to find fault with the Lord. They set out that morning and they traveled to the temple where Christ was preaching. And they had one thought, and one thought only in their mind, and that was to prove to the crowds that followed him that Christ didn't know everything. You see, they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. But as he preached that day, evidently this scribe was taught by the Spirit of God, because he was able to say to the Lord in verse 32, "Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he." So this critical spirit that he came with, it seems it's beginning to leave him. The antagonism that he had initially to Christ as he listens to him speak, it's beginning to dissolve, because this scribe has been strangely drawn to the Lord Jesus. As I said, of whom it was said, "Never man spake like this man." He's coming nearer to the kingdom now. And as he begins, he gets a clearer conception of spiritual things. Because notice what the scribe goes on to say in verse 33. He says, "And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." In other words, this man knew that God puts more emphasis on moral issues than he does on outward ceremonies. This scribe was able to say to Christ, "I know that what is in my heart is far more important than all the outward ceremony and religion and ritual that I can go through." And he did have all the outward ceremony. But all that ritual, all that ceremony, still didn't make him right with God. How different from many people in Ulster today who think that ritual and ceremony will get them into heaven. You know, I've spoken to people face to face who have told me that they think they'll be in heaven because they were baptized with water. They'll be in heaven because they take communion. And I wonder if there's someone here tonight, and you might not come out straight and say, "Well, I'm relying only on that," but you think you're a little bit closer there because of these things. Well, you can look at all the ceremony this man had, and he had far more ceremony than you and I can ever hope to have. But whether you're baptized, catechized, or anything else you want to say tonight, that alone won't save you. Having your name on a membership roll won't get you into heaven. As a man once said, you might as well have your name on a sausage roll as have it on a membership roll, if that's what you're relying on to get you to glory. But this man had more sense than that. He knew that it was a matter of the heart, because he says in verse 33, "To love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength." In other words, he's saying, "I know it's not enough just to have the right knowledge in my head." And see, perhaps you're here tonight and you can say, "Listen, preacher, you can't tell me anything I don't already know. I know I need to be saved. I know the way of salvation. I know that there is a way to Christ, and one way only." Well, it's not just enough to know the Bible. It's not just enough to be able to repeat it. I remember speaking one day to a man, and he'd been in the Orange for many, many years, and when I was witnessing to him, every time I was quoting a verse, he finished the verse before I got out of my mouth. He went on to tell me how he'd been to Sunday school, he'd been to church, and all the spiritual upbringing he'd had. But when I asked him whether or not he was saved, he admitted that he wasn't. Oh, yes, he had a head knowledge. He had a tremendous head knowledge. But what he had in his head hadn't gone down that 12 inches into his heart. And I wonder today, as the Holy Spirit ministers His Word to our hearts, does the Lord look at the pew upon which you're sitting tonight, and then does He say of you, as He said of this man, yes, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Because you've been born into a land just like this man that's been blessed with the gospel. This man was born in Israel. He heard the scriptures preached. I wonder how many sermons you've heard tonight, friend. You know, it always makes me worry in my own church in Port Ovoge when I sit back and I look at some people that have sat under my ministry for the past several years, and they've sat under the previous ministers for several years, and they come every Sunday night without fail, but they're still not saved. In fact, I remember when I was in Bible college, Reverend Jim Beggs, who at that time was a minister of Ballymena, he was telling us about a funeral that he conducted, about a man in his church who'd not only sat under Reverend Beggs' ministry for many, many years, but he'd also sat under old Pastor Paisley's ministry for many, many years, and he'd also heard old W.P. Nicholson preach. What an amazing ministry that man listened to. But he was buried unconverted. And I wonder tonight how many sermons you've heard. I wonder tonight how many Christians have witnessed to you. I wonder tonight how many people have prayed for you. I wonder tonight if you're sitting there and you're not far from the kingdom of God and you're thinking to yourself, this is quite a desirable place to be in. I'm not there, but I'm not far. Yes, it was a desirable place to be in. But let me also tell you here, secondly, that this is a very dangerous place to be in. It's dangerous because you can be so near but not be in the kingdom. If you become complacent and you become apathetic, and let's just say that tonight you do what you've done for your whole life. Because if you're in this meeting tonight, let's face it, if you're not saved tonight, every single time you've been to church, every single time you've heard the gospel preached, you've decided to leave the meeting without the Lord. And if you do it again tonight, I wonder if it's become a habit. I wonder if perhaps before you even came into this meeting tonight, you thought to yourself, no matter what that preacher says, I'm going home the same way I came in. Have you ever heard the expression, a miss is as good as a mile? You can be near the kingdom, but you can still perish. You could be like the man who was on the sinking ship, and the lifeboat was just a step away from him, but he delayed a little bit too long, and then when he eventually took that step, the lifeboat was too far away, and he went down into the icy waters. And in the Old Testament, when a man had committed manslaughter, not deliberate murder, but a man had killed by accident and the manslayer was after him, he had to flee to what was called the city of refuge. Once he entered through the gates of the city of refuge, then the manslayer couldn't kill him. But as he's approaching the city of refuge, if he slows down, if he gets confident, if he gets complacent because he's coming near to the place, the manslayer can still kill him, even though he's within sight, even of that city of refuge. You see, there's a danger in being near the kingdom but not in it, because to be almost there is exactly the same as being altogether lost. Just think tonight. You can say, well, look, I'm almost a Christian. I'm almost saved. But what you're really saying is, I'm altogether lost. In Matthew chapter 25, you can read about the five foolish women. who came near to that door and they knocked upon it, and there was only the width of that door that stood between them on the outside and the wedding feast on the inside. But the cry came from within, "You're too late. You had opportunity to prepare in time, but you didn't do it, and you're too late." Imagine the consternation of finding that you just missed out on the kingdom of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, it says concerning the king of Babylon, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." What that simply means is, hell moved when the king of Babylon entered into it. The chapter also says that the chief ones in hell said to him, "Art thou also come here?" They said, "Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? How art thou fallen?" In other words, here's the prophet Isaiah, and he's picturing with amazement in hell that a great man like the king of Babylon would come to such a place. And I wonder what some people here in this meeting tonight, if you don't take that step of faith, if you don't come to Christ tonight of all nights, I wonder if you just continue that habit of saying no to Christ. If you die in your sins and end up in a lost eternity, I wonder if the same thing will be said to you. Will there be those in hell who will look at you and say, "You? What are you doing here? You who were born in Ulster, who was blessed with the gospel. You who sat in church week after week. You who knew the gospel from your childhood. You who had Christian friends witnessing to you. You who had people pleading with you. You who used to tell us off for some of the things we used to do in life. You had all the privileges of the gospel that so many millions in the world have never had. And yet you're here with us. Art thou also come here with us?" No wonder the Bible says it'll be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than for those who have heard the gospel preached again and again and rejected it. So in one sense tonight, if you're sitting in this meeting and you're near the kingdom of God, in one sense, it's a desirable position to be in, because there's no doubt you've been blessed among and above many people of the world. But it's also a very dangerous position to be in, because you can become complacent and you can sit back like someone else in Scripture and say, "When I have a convenient season, I will call on thee." But the man who said that never called on Christ. Imagine that man in eternity. And as we think about all the terrors of hell, imagine those words that fell from his own lips haunting him for eternity. "When I have a convenient season, I will come for thee." But he never called. And he never came. A desirable position, a dangerous position. But let me say also here finally, if you're not far from the kingdom of heaven tonight, then it's your duty and your own responsibility to enter in. You see, I can't get saved for you, and you can't get saved for me. The Lord himself spoke about striving to enter in. And what he meant by that was, you need to get serious about it. It means you need to get earnest. It means you need to get to a point tonight where you say, "Enough's enough. I've carried this burden of sin. I've run away from the Lord long enough. I've lived with this thought at the back of my mind, and it keeps coming back again and again, that if I was to die in my sleep, I'd be lost forever." And you need to get very, very sincere about coming to Christ. You see, praise God that in his grace, he's kept you until this hour. He's kept you. How often do you hear preachers say, "We don't know what a day will bring forth"? How quickly and how unexpectedly we can go out into eternity. Today's Wednesday. Just last week, last Tuesday, I was down at the funeral of a friend of mine Jervis Lockhart, and Auchnacloy. I've known him for over 20 years. Tremendous fellow, clerk of session of our church in Auchnacloy. Jervis went out on a vintage rally. Now, have you ever been driving down the road and got caught behind a vintage rally? They do about 10 miles an hour. But he was tragically and suddenly killed that day. Out of all the unexpected ways to go, he went suddenly and unexpectedly. And none of us know what a day may bring forth. You don't know when or where the Lord will come or call. And that's why the Lord himself said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." You need to lift up your eyes and look to the Lord tonight, friend. You know that on the 24th of May this year, I had my 21st birthday. Now, I know I don't look my age, do I? 21. It was 21 years ago on the 24th of May that I was born again by the grace of God. Just recently, I was reading about old John Wesley, and I discovered something about old John Wesley I didn't know. John and Charles Wesley were two mighty men of God. Charles Wesley was the great hymn writer who wrote over 8,000 hymns. And when John and Charles Wesley went to Oxford, they got involved in a movement known as the Holy Club. They called themselves Methodical, and of course that's where the name Methodist comes from. And you know that every Wednesday and Friday, John and Charles would fast from morning until night, and they wouldn't eat anything. On Sunday, they spent the whole day going along to church services and doing good. Now those things are all very, very commendable. Going to church, studying the Bible, doing good. John went off to be a missionary. Charles, too, went off to be a missionary in America to work among the Red Indians way back there in the 1700s. And they were both ordained into the ministry of the Church of England. John Wesley's father had been a clergyman in the Church of England. And one day John Wesley was coming back in the boat from America, but he himself admitted that even as a minister, he didn't have the peace of God within his heart. He wasn't at peace with God. Now here he was, as I said, he was a missionary, someone who was willing to give his life to preach the word of God, but he himself had not entered into the kingdom of God. Yes, he was very religious. Yes, he had very many commendable qualities. And I'm sure that many people thought this missionary was a very godly man. But little did they really know about his heart. Coming over on the boat, he met some Moravians, and when a bad storm hit the boat, he said he began to get afraid. But he couldn't believe, when he looked at these Moravians, the peace that was in their heart in the midst of the storm. And so they asked him, and they said, "Don't you know Christ, the Savior of the world?" And he replied, "Oh, yes, I do." And they said, "Do you know him as the only Savior?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And then one of them said, "Do you know he's your Savior? Do you know that he's taken away your own sin?" Now, John Wesley said at first, he answered, "Oh, yes, yes." But he said in his heart, he knew that he hadn't. And he came back to England, he said, a defeated man. He was 35 years of age. He was depressed. He was discouraged. But on the 24th of May, he opened up his Bible. And you know what text he read? He read this very text we're preaching on tonight. "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And he prayed, "Oh God, that I would know that I'm in the kingdom." And that night he went to a small meeting in a place called Aldersgate Street there in London, and a man began to read. In fact, the man wasn't even preaching. He was just reading from a book by Martin Luther, the converted monk, that man who became the father of Protestantism. And it was Martin Luther's preface to his commentary on the book of Romans. And as that man read from that book, John Wesley said that a strange peace came over his soul as he realized Christ didn't just die for sins, he died for my sins. Christ didn't just die for sinners, he said he died for me. And John Wesley trusted Christ as his Savior there in that meeting. On the 24th of May, there were no appeals, there wasn't even anyone preaching, just a man reading from his commentary. And as I thought about that, it struck me that John Wesley and I got saved on the same day, the 24th of May. Almost 250 years between us, I'm not that old.
But we both got saved the same day. And I'll tell you something, we both got saved by the same Saviour and through the same gospel. No change. The same Saviour that saved him way back then on the 24th of May 1738 saved me also on the 24th of May 1986. And let me say tonight, friend, the same Saviour can save you tonight from the very uttermost to the from the guttermost to the uttermost. It doesn't matter whether you're the biggest sinner in Portadown or whether you're the most respectable person in Portadown. Let me ask you tonight, are you in Christ and is Christ in you? If you were to be taken from this scene of time tonight, can you say, praise God, I know I'll be in heaven? Because I've got a little bit of heaven within my soul already. Or do you have to say tonight, or does the Saviour say of you tonight, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And you know you're not far from it. All you've got to do tonight is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, it's a desirable position, but it's a very dangerous one. And tonight, it's your duty to come to Christ. Don't leave again without Him. You've done it your whole life. But tonight, as the Spirit of God strives with you, when you come tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen.